Amen. Oh, Jesus. We have been asked praying all this week to be yours. I cannot do something here to be my own feelings and my own thing.
Amen.
Tell the Lord, you know, use me as you want. You will be God. Oh, yeah, I was telling the Lord, I don't speak to loud. I remember you telling me that, brother. Yeah, we're praying, saying, Lord, I don't want to be a loudy here where I can give my own opinion or nothing like that. I'm not going to be long because we have almost full house and everybody have a chair. We want everybody to share. But I'm going to share about day one and day two. And then Brother Eric will share the rest and Brother Ty. Now, let's read the verses from the Bible, Revelation 3:11 from day one. And then Revelation 3:14. Amen. I count to you
all the hands that you have, and no one take your crown.
Revelation 3:14.
And to the answer of the church in Laodicea, I write, Jesus says, be a man, faithful and a true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Okay, let's read the day two, the verse also, Revelation 3:15-17.
That you are neither called nor hot. I wish that you were called nor hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am wealthy and I have become rich and I have need of nothing. And you now know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Amen. Oh Lord Jesus. I want to read another verse from 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy. Here, 1 second. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all the scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
Okay, we can still, this, we finished today seven churches. Completing today seven churches. And this is not only a divine history, it's also a divine revelation. The book of Revelation is not only the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it is also the Lord revealing us the condition of the churches on this earth. Right? Now, how does this affect the churches? How is this related to us? Right? Well, I think we all have experience. I think myself, personally, I experienced all this. Churches. From the beginning of Ephesus, when sometime I left the first love. Remember when you marry, in the beginning you love your wife, the first one like so hot, so high, you know, you really fell in love, and then 10 years later sometimes you leave the first love. I experienced that. And then the Smyrna, which is a suffering church, we all go through sufferings, right? But the Lord always there. And then Pergamos, when we say we love the Lord, and then we love the world at the same time, we jump from one realm to the other one. I think we all experience all these things, and also we came to this church of Thyatira, right? Thyatira, where, after Pergamos is Thyatira, right? Where sometimes we just keep the name. We used to keep the name, so we had to just after him. And then comes the consequence of that Tyra conflict, Sardis. Right? And Sardis is the justification by faith. So we've been justified by the word by faith. And sometimes we think we're alive, but sometimes we're dead. When we sin, we can always come to him, and he forgives us. And then what comes after that is now Philadelphia, brother love, and then Laodicea. But if you read week one, he read with once, actually talks more about Philadelphia. Right? He talks a lot about Philadelphia. Why he talks a lot about Philadelphia? Because actually Philadelphia is a distorted, Laodicea is a distorted Philadelphia. Right? And what does he say to the Lord in here? He says, now, we have to keep what the Lord has given us. That's what the Lord is telling us. We have to keep. We can't change. Now, right now, there's many in Christianity, and many activities, you know, many ministries that used to try to make people believe. But we have, the Lord wants to keep what we have in Philadelphia, right? And we have to continue with those things doing the same thing. Because that's what the Lord wants. To give us ourselves to Him. And oh Lord Jesus. So in Philadelphia, we should not be worried of doing the same things. And in Laodicea, we actually is in the opinion. I many times we all, I know I spoke my opinion before, right? And I said, the Lord, yes, use me and speak through me, anoint me with your spirit, anoint me with your word. And it's something that we have to stay from the Lord. And we came out, we had to coordinate, and we coordinate this for the call to the Lord. Area that we're going to speak now, we have to put in everything in the Lord's eyes. And it has to be, we have to keep the holiness and the righteousness in the church. Mm-hmm. And this is very important. And then in day one, and day two, you look at day two, it says, this is what we go through a lot, right? And day two, it says, I know your word, you have no need of follow up. I wish you were called a heart. This really touched me a lot because many times I've been lukewarm for many years. I've been a Christian for what, 20 years? I've been saved. But this is happening in Christianity right now, that we have neither heart or core. And the Lord said we have to be either heart or core. And we want to be heart. We don't want to be core. Right? And He says, and in the eyes of the Lord, Laodicea are lukewarmness and spiritual pride. Now, we have to work in the ask the Lord to make us work in righteousness, not to be for the heart. But also the spiritual pride, many times. The spiritual pride comes sometimes when we get so much knowledge of the Word. And this is what happened with Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Laodicea comes out of Philadelphia because of spiritual pride. So, the one thing we have to ask the Lord is, Lord, I want to be humble like you are. I want to be humble so I can see you in the Word. Oh, Lord, we can't be proud because we have a lot of knowledge. Yeah, we have a lot of revelation of the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. We do have a lot of revelation. But we have to use this revelation so the others can see. Others can really see what the Lord is. You can see the Lord in us. You know, it's not easy. I know, I've been young. Young people sometimes we struggle with it. You know, it's not that easy to maintain and be hot all the time. Because sometimes we like things to the side, you know, this and that. You know, the enemy is very smart, he can't do that. But we have to actually not to be loved no more. Be hot all the time. And it says here, as you know, brothers and sisters, if you want to continue in the way of Philadelphia, remember to humble yourself before God. Sometimes I hear some brothers say, God bless us with that. God bless us with that. But we must be careful when we say this. As soon as we are not careful, we have the flavor of Laodicea. we are wealthy and have become rich, we have need of nothing. Let me say that the day we take this position, we become lost. So we pray that the Lord open our eyes in these churches, in these seven churches, that is not only divine history, but it's a divine revelation for us to relate with each church. And if you want, now you can share, everybody could share your experience with any of these churches. You don't have to share too long, but we want as many people, as many saints, to really give us your sharing. We need to hear it so we can grow more.
So while I was, you know, preparing for this this introduction, you know, I read the portion like at least like two or three times, and I was just like, I didn't really know like one, I didn't really understand a lot of things, and two, I was like, I have no idea what to say, so I was kind of complaining to my dad, and then, you know, my dad said some things, and I realized that, you know, I'm supposed to speak on a message about dead doctrine and vain knowledge, and that's exactly what I was trying to get, you know, just some dead doctrine, so I could give a good introduction, and. You know, the entire time I was preparing, you know, actually I started preparing yesterday, and then I just eventually went to bed because I was like, I don't know what to say. You know, the entire time I just kind of felt like the Lord saying, you know, just come to me, just come to me. But I was like, no, I'm gonna figure out what these things mean on my own. And so, you know, it's really easy to fall into this trap of just having knowledge for knowledge. You know. In the portion, you know, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, it says, right, because you say, I am wealthy, and have become rich and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, why does the Lord say these things? You know, why are we wretched and miserable, poor, blind and naked? It's not that we don't have the knowledge per se, but that we lack the experience of Christ.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm very much speaking to myself a lot more than I'm speaking to you guys. So, but I really realized that, you know, we have such a lack of the experience of Christ. You know, we might know the truth, but knowing the truth is different from knowing the Lord,
right?
You know? I'll use John as an example. So, let's just hypothetically, let's say that somebody wrote a biography about John. And let's say before John and Carolyn got married, Carolyn read this book about John, and or this biography on John, and someone asked her, what can you tell me about John? She might say, oh, John really likes basketball. But now that they're married and they've spent all this time together, and she's experienced what it's like to be with John, and you ask her again, she would be like, John really likes basketball. It's like, one is just mere knowledge, but one is actual experience. You know, that, you know, Carolyn really knows that John likes basketball because she spent time watching basketball with him, maybe they talked about basketball. And so, there, with us, you know, there's such a lack of the experience, right? We may know all these different truths, but we lack the actual experience of Christ. And I really appreciate, you know, verse 18, it says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be manifested, and eyesight to anoint your eyes that you may see. And, you know, there's a, you know, we need to, you know, we need to pay the price, right? We need to buy, right, this gold, you know, which is just God, right? And we need these white garments. You know, our living needs to express Christ. You know, we really need the, you know, the eyes that, right, to see the spiritual things, so it's not just dead. And, you know, the Lord really touched me that, you know, so many things that I know are really just knowledge. You know, for example, you know, like the triune God, right? We all know God is triune. But why is God triune? Like, do we really see and appreciate the fact that if God was not triune, we would have nothing. right? If God is just God, He's in the heavens, and He's not crying, we have absolutely nothing. And, you know, Brother Sergio called hymn number 7, and actually, I was going to share on this, and I didn't think anybody would actually call it, but when he called it, I was really happy. You know, about a month ago, I was driving to a home meeting with a brother, and we were just singing hymns, and we ended up singing Psalm number 7, right? And, you know, it says, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. And then he pointed out that, how come we never praise the Spirit? You know, it's like, we always, like, you know, pray, it's like, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we praise the Father, but, like, you don't, like, nobody goes up to somebody else and just says, praise the Spirit. Right? That kind of sounds weird. But, like, the only reason why we can have God is because of the Spirit, right? And so we need to be so full of appreciation that our God is triune, not just as mere knowledge, but in our experience we need to see that God is triune. And you know the Lord, you know, he went through, you know, he died on the cross for us, right, for our sins. And we know this, right? It's like, oh yeah, you know, the Lord died for us. But, like, Is it like so real to us? Like, do we actually see that the Lord, you know, every single time we commit a sin, you know, the Lord was on the cross. He suffered through all this pain so that we can have the way to come to God. You know, honestly, like, I feel like I really lack this appreciation. You know, that the Lord would actually, you know, be nailed to the cross to die for me. And you know, I really appreciate, last week we were in the church in Philadelphia, right? Brotherly love, right? You know, we have to love the brothers, you know. Like, oh, I have to love Preston, I have to love Tyler, I have to love Stephen. But, like, what does that mean? It doesn't just, like, in a practical sense, what does that mean, you know? You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, right, verse 4, it says that, you know, love covers all things. You know, believes all things, endures all things. And, you know, when we, you know, spend time with the saints, you know, there's always going to be offenses, right? You know, we may love the brothers and the sisters, but there might be offenses. And, you know, I really appreciate this phrase, you know, we have to pay the price. You know, it's not like it just comes free. You know, there's a price that we have to pay. Yeah. And, you know, when you offend someone, you know, you have to be willing to pay the prices. If the Lord is telling you to go apologize, you go apologize, you know. And if someone comes to you and apologizes, then you have to pay the price to forgive. Yeah. Right? And then this is a practical way of loving each other, right? To love the brothers so that there's no offense between each other and between us and God. And, you know, also just, I really appreciate, you know, John talked about, like, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, do we really see that calling on the name of the Lord is our way to breathe? You know, for us to stay alive, you know, in a spiritual way. Like, this is the practical way for us to live, you know, in our spirit. You know, Romans 10:13, right? The Lord is so rich to all who call upon Him. Is the Lord really rich to us, or is it just, oh yeah, that verse is He's rich to me, but, you know, it's like whatever. Yeah. And so I could go on and on, but I'll share one last thing. You know, I really appreciate the matter of having the Lord make home in our hearts. You know, we talk about this a lot, that, you know, the Lord would make more room in our hearts, but. And we always say, oh, amen, yeah, we really need to allow the Lord. But then when the Lord really, you know, comes to touch something in our being, and He shines a light on our being, that, wow, this thing is getting in the way of your enjoyment of me. And then when He comes and touches it, we all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't want you to touch this thing, right? I want you to make more home in my heart, but not with this matter. You know, if we have that view, then we're not paying the price, right? It comes at a price. It comes at the price of of our soul life, you know, of ourself. And so I just want to teach you that, you know, we need to really, you know, give ourselves to pay the price in all these matters. And, you know, if we would pay the price in all these matters, then we will really have the experience of Christ.
The Lord just reminded me something that I should say. And this brotherly love that we talk about is very beautiful, right? But it's not really the love that we have to really express to every saint of the church. It is the agape love. Now, the agape love is the divine love. And that's the love from John 3:16. For so God loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. This love is the agape divine love, and that's the one that we have to be with the Lord's life. And the agape love will always end. It will always end. Right. The brotherly love is very nice, because usually the love that we give to our family, to our brothers, but if the agape love that had to conquer the brother's love, had to grow in them, so we can love the brother with the divine love towards Jesus. So that is how we are.
Amen. Well, because of time, maybe we could, again, do 2 minutes. Brian can help us. Maybe we could do what we practice. Maybe we can continue to practice one standing, sharing, and another person ready, locked and loaded, ready to go. Mm-hmm. So we can have many sharing.
Amen.
So I'll be the first one to share, but someone else needs to stand up. I won't share until someone else stands up. All right, Brother Colin. All right. Amen. So I'm just going to read a little portion that I enjoy and then share a little bit. This is day 3. The Lord charged the church in Laodicea, saying, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Then knowledge has made the degraded church lukewarm. She needs to become crazily burning by dropping it and deadening and cooling knowledge.
Amen.
And she even needs to break the bondage of her doctrinal forms. She needs to be boiling rather than to be dead right according to doctrine. She needs to love the Lord and pay any price to gain Him, even at the cost of sacrificing the doctrines. A lukewarm church needs to be hot, to be burning at any cost.
Amen.
She needs to repent of her lukewarmness,
amen,
not to be proud of her knowledge any longer, and repent of being satisfied with the vanity of knowledge and not with the reality of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So that portion really touched me.
Amen.
I was just really thinking, you know, we're very blessed to have many, many books in the ministry, right? We have the life studies, that's, you know, on my bookshelf, that's two rows of the books. And if you get Watch Me, that's probably another 2 rows. And that's not even including all the other books, right? Then you have the collected works and all sorts of things, right? And they're all full of great, great things. And actually, they're full of even doctrines, right?
Yeah.
And we need to have a basis, and we do need to have doctrines. They're the solid foundation for us.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we can get stuck in holding these doctrines so tightly that they hinder us. But actually, these doctrines and these life studies and all these messages, Brother Lee, or Witness Lee, his intentions would be that these would be just be tools. This would be a toolbox for us to be able to experience and access the Spirit.
Amen.
And access the Lord in many different angles and many different ways, shine on us and help us when we come to the Word. You know, sometimes we just don't understand because we weren't blessed to have that bird's eye view of seeing the whole Bible.
Amen.
You know, these men were very blessed to be able to see such a bird's eye view. So I was just touched that we need to really be burning in spirit and not be so focused on some of these doctrines, but really to touch the essence of what we're reading.
Amen. So the 17 and 18. 17 says, "Because you said," and then it says, "and do not know." So the Laodicea says, "I am wealthy and have become rich and have need of nothing." But Laodicea, that's what Laodicea says, does not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So then here's what the Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire,
sandals, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be manifested, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see." So, we need all these books.
Yeah.
Right? This is a great blessing, and the Lord started with the brethren in the 1800s. The Lord really opened up the Bible. So with the Reformed Church, he gave us the open Bible, but we need the Bible to be opened up. So we need the interpreted word. We need these books, but we don't want to stop with the knowledge of the books, right? We want, because then we'll just be naked.
Yeah.
We will be, if we stop with the knowledge of the books, we will be wretched,
yeah,
and miserable,
yeah,
and poor, and blind,
yeah,
and naked. So he says, "Buy from me gold refined by fire." So this is the divine nature of the gold, but also refined by fire refers to our faith. So we need to have the, I only have a couple seconds left, but, and we need to buy white garments.
Yeah.
So we need to have, we need to live one with the Lord.
Amen.
So we need the books, but we need to be, use the books to contact the Lord.
Amen.
And live one spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
Then out of this organic union, we'll have the very living that is the expression of Christ as the white garments.
Amen.
And we'll have this, we'll be full of the Spirit and anointed with the Spirit, so our eyes are no longer blind.
But
we're anointed with the Spirit. We have the spiritual sight.
Amen.
We have the gold, we have the white garments,
amen,
and we have the eye salve.
Amen. Yes. I very much enjoyed so far the two brothers they mentioned about the spiritual books,
right?
Because I think we all love the spiritual books,
right?
Even the brethren books, every year I love to go with Saints, we'll go to Virginia, buy at production cost, come home every year, many boxes of books. We love these books, right? They're wonderful. But you can see actually, this can become very, very, very dangerous, right? What is something which the Lord speaks to Laodicea, right? He is the one who is on the outside and knocking. So what does this mean? Sadly, Laodicea has lost the presence of the Lord. What happens when we lose the presence of the Lord? All the spiritual books, all the spiritual writings, they become doctrine to us, right? And then when we lose the presence of the Lord, we're left with what? All the opinions, right? All the outward things, all the outward doctrines, right? That's why it's so critical that we answer this call the Lord makes in Laodicea, right? We open the door to Him and allow ourselves to live before the Lord. Did you notice? Actually, this preposition used in the message, it says to live before the Lord, right? We can read about living to the Lord, living, you know, for the Lord, etc. This preposition, before the Lord, is very, very, very important. Remember, the Christ in speaking to the seven churches is this glorious Christ, right? We need to see Christ as such a one. And when we live before such a Christ, we certainly will be very constrained in our speaking, very constrained in our living. And this Christ will certainly constrain us in such a way that we're not so free just to enter into the doctrinal realm, enter into the external realm, right? When we live before such a Christ, we become constrained, right? So that's why, at least from this message, I feel the strongest burden is we need to be ones who live before the Lord, live in the presence of the Lord. When we lose the presence of the Lord, we enter into Laodicea. Then we become prideful of all the spiritual books, all the so-called spiritual knowledge sitting on ourselves. Right? We can, in fact, most of them probably are collecting dust, but still we become so prideful. All these spiritual books, we have all the riches, we have all of the spiritual knowledge. Without the presence of the Lord, it's just death. So we need the presence of the Lord.
I was very touched by our lady. I will read a little bit. Please bear in mind that we have nothing that we have not received. Those around us may be full of death, but we do not need to be conscious of the fact that we are full of life. Those around us may be poor, but we do not need to be conscious of the fact that we are rich. Those who live before the Lord will not be conscious of their own riches. may the Lord be merciful to us that we may learn to live before Him.
Yeah,
and also for the 1 Corinthians 8, 1b says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Teaching without love, it puffs us up. We may listen to the messages of the ministry and become puffed up without with mere knowledge. This does not build up, love builds up. Yeah, I think this is looks like a cycle from a Sardis church. Lord said, you have name of living, but yet you are dead. And because of it, so there's a recovery of the Philadelphia church, and the brother in love recovered the church. But after that, because maybe people are, you know, puffed up, you know, they have too much knowledge and they are really good condition, and then the church, you know, go to merely knowledge again. And I think this kind of situation is like a near-death situation. Yeah, the brothers, they have knowledge, but they have no love. You know, they are not neither cold or hot, and it looks like a near-death situation to me. So we should be very careful. We have a lot of knowledge. Sometimes we think, okay, this I already know. I don't want to stand up to speak to see it again because I already, you know it. And a lot of people have said that. But be very careful. This is knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we don't have any fresh experience of the Lord in our life anymore. Yeah, so we should come to the Lord to live before the God. May God, you know, remind us we are poor. We should stand in Christ by the eyes of
this Lord. To teach you Laodicea, it is really a warning to me. They remind me in the early days of my church life. I really envy those brothers who they are so eloquent. They are beloved, they are included with the Jews. But actually, to the church in Laodicea, the Lord said, although the church in Laodicea, they are full of knowledge, they know the Bible, they have a lot of doctrine, but in the eyes of the Lord, they are poor, they are blind, and they are naked. Because they lack the lack of the experience of Christ. So I really enjoy the word that the Lord said we need to buy. So when we buy something, we need to pay a price, like a brother mentioned. We really need to pay a price to gain Christ, to experience Christ. And this also reminds me that only the church in Philadelphia can fulfill God's heart desire. The Lord is returning back to the brother love. But for loving the brothers, we also need to pay a price. We shouldn't love the brother with our natural love. We need to deny ourselves.
Amen.
So, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And also our brother, the matter that our church, in the New Year, our church encouraged us to get into a spiritual books. But we need to be very careful.
Yes.
We may seek the knowledge of life, but we may lack the experience of life.
Yeah.
So, pray this, Lord, give us the experience we need.
Amen.
We spend time with the Lord. Spend time in His presence.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I just wanted to go off what everyone else was sharing. I really appreciate that. Yeah, there's like a cycle. You go from Sardis, which is the dead, to Laodicea, which is what? It's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So here you see that. This is the condition of the church. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay? But just on top of that, they don't realize it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Spiritual pride and lukewarmness are the predominant features of Laodicea. But I just really appreciate the kind of the antidote to this, right? It's the subjective Christ.
Yes.
And I was just considering all that was being shared. You know, I feel that's my struggle, because, you know, I'm in the training. We're supposed to be constituted with the truth. You realize what the Lord needs as ministers, they need to be constituted with the truth. And a lot of the times, like, Lord, I'm not even, sometimes I feel like I'm on the other extreme. I'm too subjective, whereas I'm not being constituted enough. But I just got some light that actually, it's, you know, this might be the case, but you don't have to focus on dead doctrine. But you,
You know, we're not after dead doctrine, dead knowledge. We're after living doctrine, living knowledge. You know, that's why we do have to be constituted. We have to be in the truth. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in the ministry. But we have to be in these things with our spirit. You know, if we don't touch, whenever, if we don't strike the Word, if we don't strike the ministry with an exercised spirit, then all we get is just dead knowledge. And that's not what, that's not what the Lord's after, and that's not going to benefit us. So anyways, I just have two prayers. Lord, be so subjective to me. And then also, Lord, help me to see the value of who you are. Right? We need to pay the price for the subjective price. But paying the price isn't a suffering so much as it is for an exchange of what you have for something that's more valuable. Anyway, so as we see the increase, as our sense of value for the Lord, it, the preciousness increases, then we just pay the price. And anyways, our Lord becomes so subjective to us.
What are your two prayers? Can we say them? What are the two prayers?
Okay. Lord, be so subjective to me.
Lord, be so subjective to me.
Okay, I modified this one. Lord, help me to see the preciousness of who you are.
Lord, help me to see the preciousness of who you are.
Amen.
Alright, so to continue on, one of the things I saw was like a progression, right? From the Church of Philadelphia to the Church of Laodicea. So I tried, because I was thinking about what was wrong with the Church of Philadelphia for a while. Like, why will they eventually transform into the Church of Laodicea? Because the thing what I understood from this was that the Church of Philadelphia, they sounded like they were just too few in number, right? That's what it sounded like to me. Because it explained that you have little strength. I know that you have little strength, but you kept my word. I think this is just calling out that they need more. They need more members. Even though they have the knowledge and they kept their word, they're not able to spread it as well, maybe. So, but as it transforms to the Church of Laodicea, the thing I saw from this is, I think of it as the future, right? There's probably, now they have access to all the knowledge, all the doctrine, and because they have access to knowledge, they almost feel as though that the knowledge they're receiving is just, it's how you said, it's doctrine. It's because it's all accessible to them, they think they just read it and they already understand it, but they don't truly understand it. And that's the way I'm seeing it, because this church is probably far in the future, that all this knowledge is so obtainable, and that because it's so obtainable, they never really had to experience it to see the knowledge for themselves. So, one of the things I'm thinking is that in Laodicea, they have to have the experience, as you mentioned, and that's why they have to be, the Lord has to allow them to have, where this particular section says, it says that I counsel you to buy from me gold and refined in the fire. So essentially, they have to be refined. Even though they know the doctrine, they have to be refined and burned by the fire to eventually have the life of Jesus in them once again. All right. I'll conclude that.
How can we overcome the degradation of the church? We must have a burning, doing spirit of love. And after today's degradation of the church, we all need a spirit of love fanned into flame to be burning in spirit. I appreciate it. A spirit, it's a human spirit of love. And it goes on to say, according to my observation, most of the co-workers have a human spirit of power, but not of love. And then I also appreciated this. Laodicea needs to become crazily burning by dropping the deadening and cooling knowledge and she even needs to break the bond of her doctrinal forms. We need to be boiling rather than be dead right according to her doctrine. We need to love the Lord and pay any price to gain Him, even at the cost of sacrificing the doctrine. A lukewarm church needs to be caught, to be burning at any cost. We need to repent of our lukewarmness, not to be proud of our knowledge any longer, and repent of being satisfied with the vanity of knowledge and not with the reality of Christ. And I just I appreciate it. We need to have a burning human spirit of love.
Amen.
We need to love the Lord and we need to love the brother.
Amen.
And so as we love the Lord, that causes us to be willing to pay the price, right? To buy the gold refined with fire, to buy the white garments, and then the ISAF. I really appreciated the ISAF because the ISAF is simply the anointing spirit.
Yes.
And as the Spirit anoints us, then we see Him, right? And I appreciate it in Job 42:6, it says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I abhor myself and I repent. And it says, the more we see God, know God, and love God, the more we abhor ourselves and the more we deny ourselves. And I just appreciate it. That's the opposite of Laodicea. As we love the Lord, we desire to come to Him. As we see Him, then we abhor ourselves and we repent of everything, right? And then we become, and then it says, seeing God equals gaining God. So the more we see God, the more we gain Him, the more we're transformed to be the same as Him, as expression.
So I enjoy, the fellowship of brothers and sisters, and so the key thing I kind of quite learned from this, how to prevent them from going to the Laodicea. So I just give two practical aspects. Number one is, we open to the Lord, we have new members to the church. So the reason that I enjoy our new members, like brothers, new members, their spirit, all these things all helped. So we are kind of young.
Amen.
The other aspect is the same something we do not want in our life is too much work. Because quite often when I woke up, when I see my house, I just see full of work. and then when I go to my company, my manager also is wrong, full of work, a lot of work. So then you will see the meaning of life, right? So, and that the solution is, like Friday meeting, our brother Shepherd said, just the one word.
Yes.
So, otherwise, how human being will do? If human being without a word, just a book, very easily vomit, just a doctrine. But all this work, knowledge and no power. So we need spirit.
Yeah.
We're not physical, we're just dead.
Yes.
Or we're just broken.
Yes.
We cannot be an army, we just be destroyed. So we need a spirit.
Amen.
So hallelujah, everybody should pick some work.
Amen.
Everybody pick some practical work.
Yes.
Sweeping the floor, anything. Just some work, do it. And then when you do it, you need spirit.
Amen.
And our church also needs spirit.
Amen.
Keep us young also.
Amen. 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 After this.
Yeah,
that's the practical word.
Everybody do a portion.
With the spirit.
Like many saints here, the Lord's charge to the church in Laodicea said they will buy from Him gold refined by fire, also the white garment, and as well as the ISAF. And I also, in particular, was very touched by the fact that we need to pay the price to buy ISAF.
Yes.
And as many share, this ISAF has to do with our seeing of the Lord.
Mm.
I was so touched by this. Our willingness to pay the price depends a lot to do without seeing of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I was reminded of Philippians, when the Lord was, when Paul was such a one who said, on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ,
Amen.
I'm willing to give up, count all things as loss. The reason he was able to make that accounting, to make that choice, to choose between in Christ, pursuing Him versus all other things, because He saw something. He saw the value. The value of Christ.
Yeah.
Not just in the doctrines, right? But He sees the excellency, the wonderfulness of gaining Christ and His person. And because we have this seeing, we're able to pay the price.
Amen.
And anyway, in Philippians, we know that there were so many good things. The price is not just the bad things, of course. It's not just who we are, per se, what we need to do. But it can also be our previous experience, a knowledge of Christ. I believe the brethren, they had very good experiences because they were one. The Lord, God revealed so much to them. They saw so much. Even those, compared to the gaining of Christ, had to be counted as nothing. And this is the type of revelation, this is the type of seeing that we need. And the only way we can have this kind of thing is that we need to have the eyesight. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on us. To anoint our eyes by the anointing spirit. We may really see the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. That we can pay the price to gain Him at all costs.
Alright, so I read Laodicea and I read Laodicea and Sardis, and what they both brought me back to was tactics of the enemy. So we're kind of past the time when, you know, the enemy, or Satan, can just attack us directly and make us very well known. Now, in his new stage, he functions in a way that it's always very discreet. And that's how he gets to us, because, you know, we become aware of his outward schemes, but now he thrives most now in our ignorance. I like to think that Philadelphia is the most infuriating of all the churches to him, because we finally have the full life there. So he makes that a special goal of his to try to hinder us in our own lives. So I read Sardis as a warning, and I read Laodicea as a warning as well. So, like, Sardis, you know, they had a name that they were living, but they were dead. And it's because that they let their doctrine, you know, where it's been, and then it only just became words, and then they lost all of it. But Laodicea had a perfect doctrine to the point where it killed them, because that's all they had. They, like, Laodicea had the doctrine but not the life, and Sardis had the life but not the doctrine, and they were both incomplete in that respect. So like, Philadelphia, like, all, so Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the Laodicea, they're gonna remain until the Lord comes back. So it's really just a matter of our condition about whether we choose to live in Philadelphia or Laodicea or Sardis, because only when we live in Philadelphia will we have the full encapsulation of the life, the knowledge, and the truth.
Amen.
I like to hear the truth in verse 3. He says, I counsel you to buy. I like that because in the previous verse, it talks about how the Lord tells them you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so we see that if we buy the gold refined by fire, that deals with our being poor. If we buy the eye salve, that deals with our blindness. If we buy the white garments, that deals with our nakedness. And being wretched and miserable is actually the condition itself of what it's like to be in that kind of church.
Yeah.
You actually are not even happy where you are. And the solution to this is I counsel you to buy. I like to think this same word buy is used in a couple of other verses, and one of them is in Isaiah 55:1 that says, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And so it's interesting because here it says, you buy, but you have no money. So how do you buy if you don't have any money? And so I thought that was really interesting. And then also in Matthew 25:9, this is something we went over in our last, in our home meeting. It says, it's about the 10 virgins. And the printed answer is saying, there will be not enough for us and for you. Go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. The same word, buy. So here it says, buy indicates that a price must be paid. But in Isaiah 55, we see that that price is not money. So what is the price that we pay to gain these experiences of Christ. And it says here that this Christ is such things as giving up the world, dealing with self, loving the Lord above all, and counting all things lost for Christ. So anyways, I just enjoyed that we actually pay this price with our time. We pay this price with who we are and what we do. And I liked what Joe shared earlier this morning, that it's not really that you're giving something up, but it's an exchange. When you exchange yourself, what you get actually is Christ.
You know, I was really touched by actually the message on day one, and this verse in 20, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This door is the door of the church." But the response is from individual Christians. The Lord can do anyone, each one responds. You know, you may have some one Christian who's called, but another Christian begins to turn. So the Lord is standing at the door of the church, but he's knocking, but he's waiting for response from each one. And then another point that really touched me, and I'm still digesting it since it's in the outline in day one. It says, "Laodicea is a distorted Philadelphia. When brotherly love is gone, the opinion of the majority is the most accepted opinion. As long as the majority is in favor, it is all right." And then the small subpoint is, "When brotherly love is lost, the body relationship and consciousness are lost." And number two, "The fellowship of life is cut off as well, leaving only the opinions of people." So since I was really touched by Esther sharing that when our love for the Lord is not active and present, you know, we don't have that active day, I mean, right now, it's not like we love the Lord 10 years ago, it's only, you know, just lip service. If our love for the Lord is gone and our love for our brothers and sisters is gone, then the fellowship of life is gone. And then what happens in the church life is, the body life is, we are led by the majority of the opinions. So if the majority, you present something and the majority of saints say, okay, and that's what, but that's not what the Lord of the church really is. The church is led by the Spirit.
Amen.
The church is led by the Lord.
Amen.
It's not the majority of opinions. It's not consensus opinion. It's you in the industry's consensus.
You know, when I read this week's message, I was very touched by Revelation 3:17. When I read this verse, it says that, "I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot." At first, I was very confused. You know, cold or hot, you know. I was like, why did the Lord say this? And then if you think about husband and wife, actually you would rather it's cold or hot. You know? Because if it's not cold or hot, that means that you have no feelings. You know, I'm going to tell you that Brother Kyle sent me the same birthday card for 20 years or 25 years, the same card over and over again. I would be very upset. So you think about it. It's a subjective experience with the Lord. I don't know about other people, but I really have this big concern about, actually in the church life, we don't have enough feelings toward brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about, you know, emotional, you know, I love this brother or I love that sister. I'm talking about the divine life, the divine love, the brotherly love, Eric shared about it. You know, sometimes we are like, you know, she's a lady sitting there. I don't care about her. As long as she, you know, she brings food to Friday meeting, that is okay with me. But then, you know, actually, here it says that we want to exercise our living faith instead of dead faith. But I think that, you know, so often we are thinking that, secret message. I read it before. So, you know, I really don't want to do the same thing again and again, see the same thing again and again but then, actually, we know that, you know, in our natural being, we cannot do that. I believe that Kyle cannot, you know, love me if he does not love the Lord. You know what I mean? But then, you know, that's why we really need to pay the price. Pay the price to gain the Lord. Actually, the three things that we need to buy is the Christ. So it's just different ways of describing the riches of Christ. So we really need to look at the Christ.
Amen. I was struck after finishing this week to see our brothers and sisters. There's only really two options for us.
Yeah.
Right. We're eating in Philadelphia or we're in Laodicea. Most likely we're not Sardis, definitely not Thyatira. And the other churches, they all happened in the past.
Yeah.
So what is before us? What is our future? What is our destiny?
Right.
It's either Philadelphia or, sadly, it might become Laodicea. And so this is a very sober, like many of you mentioned, this word, warning, this reminder. May the Lord have mercy on us. That while we still have time on this earth, and this word touched me this week, is repent. You know, the word repent occurs in every church except for Smyrna and Philadelphia, because there was no rebuke there. Every other church, there was a cry for the believers. While you still have time to repent. Now this was brought out, and this really touched me, that the believers at this thing, they do not know. They did not know that they were wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. This is a subtle tactic of the enemy. He put a veil over us so that we no longer realize our true condition. We need to repent. And there is time to repent. And repent just means that we see where we are and we make a turn. We turn back to the Lord. And this matter of the buying, I was really touched with everything that was brought out. To me, I was considering, it's summarized by these two things. How do we buy? You buy with time. And you buy with cooperation. All we have today is time. I don't know how many times I had to repent this week for not spending enough time with the Lord. How can we gain the gold if we don't have the time? And this matter of cooperation, there's a little paragraph in the ministry. It really touched me. The Lord sometimes may show us a certain matter, a certain person, a certain thing in us, in our lives, that has become a frustration, that has become a hindrance from us coming to the Lord to enjoy Him. We need to cooperate. Drop these things so that we can buy while there's still time.
Amen.
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 Once a person knows himself, he becomes Laodicea, and the result is lukewarmness. Laodicea means to know everything, but in reality to be fervent about nothing. In name he has everything, but he cannot sacrifice his mind for anything. It remembers its former glory, but forgets its present condition before God. Formerly it was Philadelphia, today it is Laodicea. I feel like this is just how I am right now. I think when I first saved, I think like a lot of times when I first saved, people were talking about how you need to be willing to spend time with the Lord, you know. And then I was like, that time I didn't really understand why people are not willing. Like how Friday home meeting, one of the students asked, like we talked about the material, was saying like you need to get oil to accumulate oil in your muscle. And the student asked, why is it they don't want to accumulate oil? And then the student, one of them, they say, basically just say in the verse, it's just because they are foolish. And then at that time, I realized, it's like, it's not like they are foolish. I think they are foolish, but they're like, it's not like they don't know that they should accumulate oil, but it's just because we are not willing. And then I just realized, it's like, as time goes on, we start to become the wrong, it's because we don't spend enough time with the Lord. If you spend enough time, then you will be,
I guess you'll be more willing to ask. And then, and then on basic, you say something like, the Lord is knocking at the door, and then it's revealing it's with the church wise. But then it's like, everybody need to answer it individually, and then it's because of your willingness to open the door. And then I just realized, like, even though you move into a sister house, like, you go to meeting every place, but then it's like, if you don't spend enough time in a personal time with the Lord, and you don't see how it is. And only when we are become willing to spend time with the Lord, then we will be able to make a turn, be able to meet before the Lord.
Yeah, very similar to Kieran's point. Like, the matter, I just consider this week, and it's a difficult week to speak on. We're either Philadelphia, or at this point, we're in Laodicea, at this point. All that we've inherited. I mean, we're either the church of brotherly love, or we're the church of the opinion and the ideas of people. Not even of brothers, but just ideas and opinions.
Yeah.
Love is scraped out. We don't even consider one another. I mean, of course, we may say the name, but actually in our feeling, in our heart, maybe, you know, not really a brother that we love and we would sacrifice and we would lay down our soul life on behalf of this one. Yeah. It just becomes ideas, thoughts of people. Even as Shepherd was speaking, I just had the feeling, if I don't have the sense I need to repent, then I'm probably in Laodicea. Mm-hmm. Because there's a call for us to repent. Mm-hmm. And really, if I consider, and I did just this past week, and even throughout the week I was considering, I repented because I was lukewarm in this. I didn't obey the Lord in this aspect. I didn't give up the world in this thing. I didn't deny myself in that thing. This week has been full of this. And I really appreciate this word buy. Buy means there has to be a price to be paid. It doesn't come cheap. There's a cost. There's a price to pay. It involves sacrifice. And in one sense, like Shepherd brought out, it's sacrifice of time. How much time am I spending with the Lord instead of in front of my computer doing other things apart from studying? And how much, and not only time, but also in terms of cooperation. How much do I cooperate with the voice that's in me and saying, well, maybe not now, because this, you know, you should be this. Well, anyway, I need to repent. And I need to buy. I need to pay the price day by day. I need to, this comes at a cost. And I realize, for us, this is the call. When we repent and we buy, then we could be recovered to the church of God's desire.
Amen. 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 Two characteristics of the church that is Laodicea is the lukewarmness and spiritual pride. Mm-hmm. I know the brothers, have you think about what is lukewarmness? Mm-hmm. Which degree? 50 degree or 70 degree? Which one?
70.
So how about 80? Is that better? The Lord said, I will spill out.
Right.
He didn't say spill out the coat.
Yeah.
He said spill out the lukewarmness. You know why is that important? Because when you are lukewarmness, you don't feel a thing. When people say gospel, oh, I know. High speed truth. Oh, yeah. I heard this 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Something prevents you from progressing.
Yes.
Something prevents you from touching the Lord.
Right.
Something prevents you from getting the Lord's current presence.
Mm.
Yes. So that's very important, brothers and sisters. We really need to pay attention.
Mm.
So in the message, say, we should be what? Not 80 degrees, not 90 degrees. We need to be boiling!
Yeah.
Right? We need to be boiling!
Amen.
So that we can regain the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
We're talking about Isaac, right? He's talking about anointing spirit. And then I remember in the meeting, in the message, Father said, maybe 30 years ago, you have anointing spirit. Oh, you feel the anointing. How about today? And then I ask myself,
yeah.
When is the last time you feel so fresh?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit anointing that we need to see.
Wow.
If you don't have that, and if you don't have a brotherly love, the only thing left is a public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not that you have a two vote. Why you have a two vote? Alright? Equal. You have one vote, I have one vote.
Yes.
brothers and sisters, not that many boats in the church.
Only one boat,
right?
Holy Spirit.
Amen. We need to look for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And one thing I just want to ask as a group, in the message, brothers say, when people come to us, I want them to have one impression. The first impression I want them to have, it's not happy to you. It's not like, it's the blood of love.
Amen.
We love each other.
Wow.
Second, we need to, I hope that they can see the humbling spirit.
Yeah.
So, yes, we do have high peace.
Right.
Yes, Lord, really bless us with so many riches.
Right.
But let us show the brotherly love.
Amen.
Let us hold what the Lord gives us. And let us show the humbling spirit.
Amen.
Because with that, we will not fall into the trap of the spiritual pride.
Yes.
Then we can have the Lord's presence, and then we can gain the enjoyment of Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I feel I receive a lot of love.
I'm just going to touch on the aspect of Laodicea. That the main issue with Laodicea is that Laodicea has lost God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And Laodicea comes out of Philadelphia. We're mainly impacted, and Laodicea is impacted based upon its history, because it had what Philadelphia had. But because it lost God's presence, it merely has history and it has a remembrance of what things used to be. So we can remember back, you know, maybe there was one glorious conference or some period of your life where you said maybe it was during the training, out of the training, you say, wow, those were the glorious times. Right? That those are the glory days. Some people even longer have been out in the church in Eldon Hall. Back in the olden days, right? So you think that was Philadelphia. And then everything else afterwards is slid. But what counts, just like Brother Caleb was saying, is what our current situation is in terms of our presence with the Lord. And this really comes down to two factors, just like what Brother Shepherd shared on, which I want to emphasize. It comes down to paying the price in time and in cooperation.
Amen.
This time, in my experience, or this didn't come from the message, is actually time prayerfully spent in the ministry. Time prayerfully spent in the ministry.
Right.
So, there's a lot of time that we can spend, you know, with the Lord, and we call on the Lord, and we do all these other things, and that's good. But in my experience, it is how much time have we actually spent this week prayerfully in the ministry?
Right.
And because by spending that time, guess what? My experience is light comes. ISAP comes. All these things start to come. And you start to realize things that you never realized. No one has to say anything to you. All these things that you said this week, which were offensive, start to come into your remembrance just by prayerfully being in the ministry.
Amen.
And after that, what happens? There has to be a response. That response is, Lord, do I cooperate? If I do not cooperate, I receive some light at that point, but there's an aspect there that the Lord cannot touch me with, that I did not pay the price, and therefore I have a limitation of enjoyment that becomes an insulating barrier between myself and the Lord. That can stay, because it often does, and over time, if we're prayerfully in the ministry again, we get shined on again. Will I pay the price to let that go? That could be something that's very dear to me. That could be something worldly. That could be something of self. That could be something of ambition. That could be something even of ambitiousness to be something or someone for the Lord. It could be any of these things. But the point is, do I let it go? If not, it always becomes another insulating barrier. So brothers and sisters, I would just encourage all of us to pay the price with time, specifically prayerfully being in the ministry, and secondly, cooperating with the Lord, so that way we can have all these insulating barriers removed. I just want to read this one point here on day four. It's toward the end, it says, and this kind of encapsulates the point. It says, Lord, we have this prayer, Lord, I have much knowledge of the Bible truths, but I admit that I don't have much of you, Lord. I would rather have you than mere knowledge or vain teachings. Lord, be my living faith. I want to live by you as my faith, the faith of the Son of God. So it's very easy to have a response like this after the meeting, right? And we all pray this to the Lord. Then let's read on. It says, all right, if you would gain me, you must pay the price. There is a certain thing that I want you to drop, because it is a hindrance and a frustration from my becoming your enjoyment. Dropping these things is the pain of the price. So brothers and sisters, let's all encourage one another through brotherly love.
Amen.
Through encouragement, that we can all go on and run the race.
Amen. I actually don't think I need to do any conclusion. I do want to share my portion, at least. This week, I also really touched by this finding we need to pay the price.
Right.
And Revelation 3:18, it actually says, buy from me. What I touched most is this from me.
Amen.
From this very person, right? This living God, this living Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we may spend a lot of price and we buy from something else. Right? We study the Bible, scripture, search the scripture, but we don't come to this very person. And a few things mentioned about these 10 virgins, right? And there's 5 foolish. When they woke up, they want to share with the oil with someone else, right? But they were told that you need to buy yourself. Usually we say, we know when they went by the oil and they come back, it's too late. But I wonder where they going to buy the oil. Right? If they don't go to this bride, where they can buy the oil? This bride goes. So if we miss this person, then we will know we definitely won't be able to buy what we need. We won't have the gold.
Right.
We won't have the Isaac. And we won't have this white armor.
Amen.
But we really need to come to this living person.
Amen.
And another thing I would like to share is, you know, one of these degraded aspects of the Laodicea is one is they are lukewarm, right? Another is spiritual pride. But ask about ourselves. Why cause us pride? Right? Why cause us proud? Everyone is proud, you know. But some people are proud of their thoughts, all their history, right? Because as our brother shared, we have this very high, you know, experience with the Lord before.
Yeah.
But some, we may be proud of other people's history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are in the recovery, some people, you know, we have some experience with the Lord. Right? We proud of that. And that proudness, kindness, that pride prevent us to really experience the Lord at the present time.
Yes.
But maybe we don't even have any history with the Lord yet. So the reason I want to bring up this is, you know, started on one hand is the historical perspective, we are unable to go back to Sardis. But our experience, we could be still in Sardis. You know? Laodicea is rich and poor. Right? Sardis is poor and poor. Then even doctrine regarding the doctrine, they are never complete. So if we think we want to avoid just have dead doctrine,
yeah,
and we won't come to the word, or we won't come to the ministry, actually we are follow others' history to get Christ. So I really amend our brothers' fellowship. We really need to spend time. Spend time and pray for the in the ministry. May this all encourage all of us.
Amen.
Thank you for speaking.
Amen.
Well, man, turn again to you.
Amen.
This upcoming new week.
Amen.
We will come to this living person.
Amen.
Again and again.
Amen.
To pay the price to buy.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. You have given us such a spirit.
Amen.
A spirit of brotherly love.
Amen.
Or even a humble spirit.
Amen.
As we come to one another.
Amen.
As we come to you.
Amen.
Even as we come to a fellow believer,
amen.
Lord, there would just be such wonderful fellowship,
amen.
Or mutual fellowship.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
Oh, let your word be profitable to us.
Amen.
Oh, convict us.
Amen.
Repent us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask you to live more in us.
Amen.
Oh, accomplish your purpose.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for the brotherly love.
Amen.
I pray for the brotherly love to be a divine love.
Amen.
We can love each other as you love your church.
Amen.
We love you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, help us to pay attention to whether or not we have God's presence.
Amen.
Whatever, regardless of what we do.
Amen.
We want your presence.
Amen.
We desire your presence.
Amen.
Lord, we want to have a personal and subjective experience with you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We want to pay the price.
Amen.
We want to spend time, Lord.
Amen.
We want to cooperate with you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, we give this new week to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Oh, we want to get more of you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, be merciful to us.
Amen.
We can drop what you want us to drop.
Amen.
We will cooperate with you.
Amen.
And we can get
so
full awesome enjoyment of you.
Amen.
Amen. Right. We'd like to render you our full cooperation.
Amen.
We defend you in every situation.
Amen.
We pray you strengthen us, Lord.
Amen.
We don't lose your presence of Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Trust in your presence.
Amen.
We gain our child in cooperation.
Amen.
Oh, we still must be being lukewarm.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, let us buy the oil from you.
Amen.
Let us spend our time wisely.
Amen.
As we can.
Amen.
And let us remember that we ultimately want to go to New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So we need to figure out cleaning. All the saints are ready to eat. I'm ready to eat. So we need three sisters for the women's bathroom and for sisters' bathroom and three brothers for the brothers' bathroom. So any volunteers, or I'll volunteer you. Okay, so one, two, three. Okay, three sisters, and then brothers, one, two. All right, four brothers. Okay, so you four brothers will do the men's restroom. Then we also need vacuuming, so we need like pretty much all hands on deck. I think we got like eight vacuums or something like that, right? So who's going to be vacuuming? Who would like to do that? So we need to vacuum this room, that room, and then the hallways. I think that's it. Oh, sure. Are they part of our? I'm never clear. They are now.
Just a few.
Right? Yeah. So I'm never clear on that aspect. Okay. So we'll see. I'll be back.